if you have a Facebook, don't be shy to add my wife and I, because sometimes I'd like to post devotions just to encourage you as well. And you can also catch on to those devotions on the Facebook app as well. For those of you who don't get my text messages, of course. And then lastly, YouTube, if you have a Google account, don't be afraid to show some love there. Subscribe and share and like our messages, because as you know, we're just trying our best to reach not only the world, but even our city of Oceanside with sound doctrine. And then last but not least, church, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you financially purpose within your heart to give to the furtherance of the ministry here at your church. And so we have a little box back there. You all already know you can do so online anytime, just between you and God, whatever you purpose within your heart to give. Let me just give you one testimony. I rarely do these testimonies. I like to share in private, but I definitely want to share this to encourage you. For those of you who may wonder again, oh man, God, I don't have a lot of money, or I do, and do I really trust that He will provide our need? So my wife and I, as you guys know, we have a great work, and of course, you know, we have our bills to pay, our debts to pay. We have our church. Well, sometimes, obviously, our church, you know, comes a little short of rent, and so of course, got to take care of business. That's what we got to do. So as we, you know, did our thing this month, I'm like, okay, God, you know what your Bible says. You know how we pray to God sometimes and remind them of His own Bible. Well, He already knows that, amen. But I'm like, okay, Jesus, your daughter and I, you know, we're in a little bit of a thing here, Lord, but we trust You. We know You're going to provide, because that's what Your Bible says. So we've been faithful. So as we're this last week, we're kind of getting ready for until my next paycheck, if you will. My wife doesn't get paid the summer because of summer school. So she doesn't get a normal check. So Brother Carlos is holding it down. I get a call from our landlord, and whenever we get a call, it's always unique. You know, it's oh, hey, what's going on, or whatever they want to talk about. But she was like, you know, we're going through all the money. And I'm like, oh, man, like, what's going on? You know, did we not give everything? She's like, we were going through all the cash. And she's like, you guys paid more than what you needed to. I'm like, whoa, what? And those bi-monthly payments, we paid a little bit more. And they gave us back $150. And I'm like, well, thank you, Jesus. There we go. I'm like, how about that? Maybe the Lord already knew Brother Carlos needed a little bit ahead, so, you know, pay a little bit over here. But thank God for them being honest. Amen. They could have obviously not said nothing. So that's how the Lord provided for me. And I just want to share that testimony with you so you too can know that, hey, when you continue to trust God, you sacrifice your money, you give to Him, you provide for your church family needs, He will take care of you through the uniquest circumstances. So I just want to encourage you that He is faithful to do what He says when you do what He told you to do. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and continue now within our study here. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. As you guys know, we're almost done with our sermon series for this summer of basic Bible doctrines. And remember that I've been teaching you from the perspective of somebody who just got saved. What do I do next? Remember how we started about a month ago on basic topics like Christian dress. We talked about that. We talked about Christian attitude. We talked about Christian speech. We talked about Christian communication. So remember, all those things that we've been talking about, these are just what we call basic Bible doctrines to help you learn, okay, I just gave my life to Jesus. I know going to church is important, but what else should I start working on within my life? And today on our part number 12, we're going to continue with a little bit of these last two Sundays about individual responsibility. Remember that? We talked about the church roles that God gave to the church. We talked about the prophets, the apostles last Sunday, and how God gave them a role, and how we're left with pastors, teachers, and evangelists to take the gospel to places and get a little assembly going, get a church going, and et cetera, et cetera. We talked about all those. And where I left you off last Sunday was individual responsibility within your church and then your God-given role. We know the men are to be the pastors and teachers. We know women are not to be pastors, if you will, over an assembly of men and women together. But we know the women can teach women and they can teach the children. Not a problem. We talked about that. We know the men have been given the responsibility and the command by the pastor to be discipled, to be taught, so they can teach other men as well as support in the teaching role. But now, for all of us, in the end of the day, what do we need to be reminded of as our individual role? Today, I've titled this sermon, But Thou. But thou. What does that mean? I'll read through our notes and then we'll pray. The word thou is a pronoun, and it's in the objective, the second personal pronoun. That is singular. It is denoting a singular person as it's being identified, whenever you read that within your King James Bible, just know that thee, thou, and thine is always raised. It's always, if you will, the connotation in those verses is dealing with an individual. Thee, thou, and thine. Whenever you read in your King James Bible, ye, you, or yours, it is plural as it pertains to its connotation. So today, I want to leave you with this on this basic Bible doctrine, part 12, but thou. So what does that mean? But you. You continue to do what we're going to learn today to talk about. Some of these areas will be challenging. Some of these areas will come off of my experience that I'll share with you from my heart so you can know too. But in the end of the day, as we all respond together, my encouragement is that you, that is thou, as we read in the Bible, we're going to get a lot of application. You'll continue to obey God, keep His commands, even when you don't want to, even when your family or friends don't want to, and even when your church members don't want to. Before we close, I am going to show you all those examples, not only of friends, but even church friends who gave up on a great man by the name of Paul, and in the end of the day, he kept serving Jesus. Even when his friends stopped coming to church, even when others forsook him. I'm going to show you before we close, but thou, but you. He instructed a man named Timothy, which is going to be our example, to continue. And so I hope today's message will be an edification to your heart. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. My Lord, as I share these notes and as I share these study notes, God, Lord, I pray that the church would have a heart to receive your word. I hope that today they would come back to this assembly believing that the Bible is the Word of God, and that by believing that your Word is the authority, God, that their lives should obey the authority. And regardless of what else may be taking place within their life, whether work, whether family, whether friends, whether social times, wherever it may begin to distract them, become a hindrance to them, and even their own body. I pray today, God, that they may be instructed by the application we're going to receive today from Timothy as the individual, as the thou in this, to apply within our own lives, God, that we likewise would continue even when everybody else doesn't and no one else wants to, but that we as the individual will continue to obey your word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. That word thou is found in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy 32 times in 25 verses. Obviously, we're not going to discuss them all, but the couple of verses that we are going to discuss should be sufficient for the point of what we're going to talk about today. So just to remind ourselves, church, and to feed ourselves with the Word of God, where it addresses us in application, even though clearly the Scriptures are addressed to people who lived historically in times past, we can still safely apply it to our life today an application for our furtherance in the work of ministry. And so for that, we're going to cover an overview of 1 and 2 Timothy to receive instruction from the Holy Spirit of how we, that is the individual, should respond to Him, and that is our Lord. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 now. And if you have your Bible open there, with your other hand, go to Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Timothy 1, and then with your other hand, Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read to you these verses, but as we do read through these verses, I would like for us to identify a couple of things. Number one, the leadership. That is from whom the authority comes from. Jesus, first of all, he's the head of the church. Remember, we talked about that. Number two, the apostle, or the teacher in this case. Remember, he is the steward. He is the overseer to the churches to help them grow in the doctrine. And then number three, the receiver, the member, Timothy. That's going to be kind of like the theme. Jesus, the head of the church, he is the one who is in control. He is the one who is the head. He is the master. Number two, the apostles. In this case, as we're going to read it from this perspective, the leader over Paul, over Timothy, the teacher for churches. And then number three, the member, the recipient, that is Timothy in this case, but to us, an application, you and I as members, me, your pastor, you as members under me, etc. We're going to kind of look at it from those vantage points. So let's read together 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll look at Ephesians 4. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the what? commandment. I want you to think about that in the back of your mind. Of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. The first thing that Paul tells Timothy, the individual, but thou, what do we see here? He says in verse 3, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Look at Ephesians 4 now with your other hand and read with me in verse number 11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Here's why, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What do we see here for our first application of but thou? Here we have Paul, who is a fellow servant of God, but his role within the body of Christ, remember, he is an apostle. He is a teacher. We just read Ephesians 4, what his purpose was over Timothy. He was there to instruct him, to teach him, to guide him, to help him in the work of ministry, to help him to learn how to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. Here we have Timothy's spiritual instructor, and he was given a command that was established by the Holy Spirit. He said, Timothy, you are commanded by God to do something with what he gave you. And in this case, what do we specifically see? That thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Wherever Timothy pastored or oversaw different churches in Ephesus, God commanded him to charge the members of the churches, don't teach that, teach this. Avoid that, don't avoid this. Do this, but don't do that. In other words, you get the point. Application, I, Brother Carlos, gifted by the Holy Spirit to pastor the assembly believers here, I likewise am commanded by the Scriptures to warn you of the same thing. Don't teach other things in the assembly here that are not in alignment with Scripture. And likewise, don't give heed to other doctrines out of this assembly that will cause the assembly to begin to question Scripture. That is what I'm commanded to do. That is me, the thou, but thou in application. But then you too, member, you too, you have this charge. Now let's go down to verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Pretty powerful. What is the result of Timothy, the individual, responding in obedience to the word of God concerning the doctrine he was charged to keep and maintain? Here's the warning, not only for himself, but the fellow members of his church. He tells him, but this, by this, in other words, the doctrine that you're receiving from my mouth, this is how you are going to win in the fight of faith. You're not going to win by anything else but what you are receiving from the word of God. And number two, Timothy, if you hold on to the things you're learning to and a good conscience, you are going to protect yourself from becoming shipwrecked like the other members have who didn't do what I'm telling you to do. And he gives them two names of other Christian members, Hymenaeus and Alexander. They made their faith shipwreck. Why? Because they did not continue in the doctrine that they were taught. They did not respond in obedience to the pastor when he told them, be careful of this, look out for that, don't do this. And they went ahead and did it anyways. And according to Paul, Timothy knew who these two men were, and they had to get rebuked and sent out of the church for that reason. Now, obviously, thankfully, none of you are like that in this particular assembly here. But what am I just doing? I am warning you in love. Other of your Christian members can become shipwreck. You can become a shipwreck. What is going to hold you from becoming shipwreck? This right here. Being right here. Not letting it go. Constantly being reminded of it. Being encouraged by it. Being held accountable by your brother here. You'll be all right. But notice, you, the responsible person with that. Let's go to our next chapter, number 3. 1 Timothy 3. In your Bible, don't worry, we're going to be in this area, right? So you can follow along, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Go down to verse 14. The Bible says here, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. How about that? So, not only for the pastor, thou, for a minute, listen up with me, members, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. This, Christian friend, is the overall point or theme of today's sermon. He gave you a pastor to help you, to teach you, to remind you, to encourage you, to correct you, to keep you accountable and to watch over your soul, so that you, remember, the thou, will remember how to behave in the assembly of believers. I have accountability from other pastors within my own life, as well as you here, the church and the members, and likewise, I to you. So if I continue as an individual to respond to the Word of God, and I respond in application to my response to the Scriptures, how I need to maintain doctrine, how I need to be careful of other Christian members that perhaps may assemble with me or outside of our assembly, but, you know, they're questioning the Scriptures, not really living solidly, they can have an effect on my life or I can have an effect on their life. But what is going to help you, again, the individual, to remember how to behave yourself? It's when you meditate upon these words. It's when you obey these commands. So notice there, verse 15, once again, Paul told Timothy, look, if I don't get there on time, I'm writing this to you so you can know how to act in the church. When the church comes together, how they can act, how they should care, how you should teach in the house of God. Next point, let's go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Let's start reading together from verse number 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. If you want to learn how to be a good Christian member, if I want to learn how to be a good pastor to you, here we have the answer. If I remind you of these things, if you remind me of these things, God said we can both be good ministers. Notice, we're meditating on the Scriptures. Not about, brother, what do you think about this? Nothing wrong by asking an opinion. Brother, what do you think about the life of the world going on out there? Hey, nothing wrong, but in the assembly, in the house of God, if we're reminding each other of His Word, the words of faith and good doctrine, God will call you and I a good minister. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Look at this next verse, church. These things command and teach. I have the command in application to command you, brother and sister, on remaining faithful to your God by these things. I don't have the right or the ability to command you, brother or sister, to do anything outside of these scriptures. That's why, church, when we talk about practicing our faith, the work of ministry, you know that I am giving you a remembrance and a reminder for things you should be doing, like soul winning, you should be doing like giving, you should be doing like assembling. You and I right there can go to each other and say, well, there it is, brother, you're right. That's what you've been told to do. I know I got to command and teach you. But when it comes down to Brother Carlos's convictions on how you should eat, how you should dress, if you will, outside of the church house, what you should do with your free time, that's just personal preference. I don't have a right to command or teach you because that's not in the book. So the things that are in the book, now you know, remember, those are commands. And I'm commanded to teach. And you're commanded to obey. That's all I'm just trying to point out to you. Look at 12. Let no man despise thy youth, for those of us that are young in leadership. But be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And that's what we do every time we assemble. We read the Bible. I give you a word of encouragement or exhortation from the scripture, and I instruct you. You see there? Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What do we learn from these things, brother? Well, remember, in application, that thou, as we're applying that to ourselves, if you want a good pastor in your life, and you want your pastor to have good members in his life, here's how we can ensure both desires to come true and to be maintained until the rapture. If we command and teach these things, what will keep you motivated, what will keep you unmovable and inexcusable to the work is when you believe that this book has the authority in your assembly. Notice, church, verse 15, if you meditate upon that wholly, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, what does that mean? More time in the Word of God, less time in your social gathering, more time in the Word of God, less time on your liberties, whether you're playing video games, whether you're watching movies, and whatever you're doing on your spare time. More time you put yourself in His Word and you get the Word of God in you, you know what's going to happen? You are going to profit. And that working of God's Spirit is going to be evident unto others because you're spending time with Him. So take that to heart. Next, chapter 5. Let's go to verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says here, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. You like that? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that otherwise cannot be hid. Honoring those who labor and calling out sin where it needs to be confronted, encouraging others wherever they may be doing right is found. Friend, this is what we are called to do, especially as the pastor. Notice in verse 21, we have a charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ that we observe these things without favoritism. So yes, regardless if we are family members or not, regardless if we have a good relationship with somebody over here and maybe not so over here, you know what God told me to tell you? I am here to instruct you all equally. I'm here to hold myself accountable to the same thing. without preferring you over the other person because, you know, you may give a little bit more money. Or, you know, you're a little bit more committed over here, so I'm going to look to you. No, no, no. We need to observe these things. We need to administer these things without preferring others. Just because, and then you fill in the blank, does not give you and I a right to treat them differently. So remember, the thou, that this is your responsibility now. And then, of course, me, when in the leadership role, we are called to do these. These are the commands and teachings of God. Let's go to chapter 6. Verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So what did he instruct him earlier? We saw earlier that thou mayest by them mayest war. What does it say? Fight the warfare from the. Let me just go back there. Chapter number. I believe it was chapter 1. Let me just quickly go back there to remind you, and then we'll go back here. In 1 Timothy 1, and look at verse number 8, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Are you following along? Then go back to chapter 6 and watch this. Verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And look at verse number 12, fight the good fight of faith. So what is going to help you to fight the good fight of faith within your life as an individual? Is when you abide by what the Word of God is commanding you to do. It's when you, as the individual, are responding in obedience to the Word of God, not excusing yourself, but rather involving yourself and yielding yourself to these things. When you're meditating upon them, when you're letting a pastor come into your life and examine you and help you and instruct you, and when you, as the members, also are being a blessing in return, all those things that when they're in alignment with what we're learning here, that's what's going to help us to fight the good fight of faith, war a good warfare. But read back from the earlier context from verse number 1. When you guys go back there, we're not going to do so now for the sake of time. But look at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. That could potentially be you one day. That could potentially be me one day. The minute that I stop wanting to hear this word of God as the authority, the minute I start questioning why I need to give so much to God, why I need to be soul winning for God, why I need to come to church, why I need a pastor, why I need to begin to obey all these things as a Christian, my responsible role, the minute that I start to do that, we will become what chapter 1 warned us about, becoming shipwreck in the faith. That's why some of the church members that you used to see here are no longer attending. I'm not saying all of them. You know who I'm talking about. Others. The reason why they're no longer here, friends, is because at some point, they began to argue against the doctrine which I was attempting to hold them accountable to. And according to the Bible, this is not me in a personal relationship with them. They became proud. They became corrupt as it pertains to their knowledge of how to put that in application because they began to put themselves ahead of God. If they didn't want somebody to remind them of the Word of God and sound words and sound living, then at some point they're going to leave. Well, here's what God warned you to do, believer. Verse number 5, from such withdraw thyself. If you don't withdraw yourself from those believers out there, they're going to have an effect on your life. So again, that's why I'm telling you as the individual, but thou, this is how you need to respond. But like life continues with all of us, sometimes we will have good seasons, sometimes we'll have bad seasons. Sometimes you're going to have good peace in the home with your family, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're going to argue, and sometimes you're going to laugh, and you're going to have great nights of fellowship to early a.m., right? Life continued for Timothy. He already was told of two members. Remember chapter 1, Hymenaeus and Alexander? He already was reminded about what he should be doing and what he should be teaching. He was already told about what he should do when complaints arise, when murmurings arise, when backbitings arose from his members. He was already told what to do with the faithfulness from some and others who may become shipwrecked. He was already told about some friends becoming real close and spending time with them and building relationships with them and everything else like that, but that he should not be surprised when they stop and that relationship becomes destroyed or distanced, because he was warned by Paul, look, here's what's going to happen. They're either going to respond in obedience or they're not. They're either going to be humble or they're going to be proud, questioning what they're being taught. I hope you're listening up, believer. We are not commanded to keep our eyes on how it used to be when such and such person was here. Brother or sister left. We're not to measure our individual obedience by the choice of another. Rather, we are to continue on because your God commanded you to. Now listen, I know about discouragement. I know what it feels like to become discouraged when members leave after time I've spent with them, played a huge role within their life, my wife and I investing our time, our money, our efforts, whether they were family of mine or friends. I also know how it feels to be discouraged by other pastors for personal things they had going on and attempted to influence my life somehow or another. But let me remind you, as an honest brother before you today, in those moments and times when those things did happen and did occur, who should I have listened to in the end of the day? What should I have done with my emotions when they were stirred, when I became stressed, when I became saddened? And likewise, what should you do in those times? Should I trust my feelings or the Word of God? I should trust the Word of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 quickly. You know what God can do through those circumstances, believer, if you trust God, not your feelings? If you stick it out and don't give up, He could produce within you a stronger faith that you didn't have before. Let me show you now. Romans 5. And I was motivated for these verses after a great conversation with Brother Giovanni Friday night. We were talking about this. This is as a part of our sermon now. Look at here, Romans 5. Let's read verse number 1. The Bible says here in Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Praise the Lord that today the reason you have peace with your Creator is by your faith in Jesus, not by your church, not by your church membership, not by your water baptism, but Jesus. But what else should you rejoice about? Let's let God remind us. Look at verse number 3. And not only so we don't just rejoice because we're saved. We don't just rejoice because we know who Jesus is and we know the work He's done within our life. As a matter of fact, look at what the Bible says. But we glory in tribulations also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Ooh. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what God said? I should anticipate from all of those things what He could accomplish in my life through those things. I should rejoice when a troublesome time comes within my life, and so should you. Why? Because we know that it works patience. We know that patience will then produce experience, and then your experience will produce hope. And the one throughout it all who is going to keep my heart in love with Jesus, keep my heart wanting to come to church, keep my heart not giving up on soul winning, not giving up on my pastor, not giving up on my work that the Lord has called me to do, is the love of God that the Holy Ghost is pouring out. So what is required within my life? Tribulation. What is required in my life? I need to go through that in order to gain the patience. I need that patience to produce within me experience. And then after all of those things that I go through, here's the love of God, the hope of God for you, the individual, that he's going to pour out upon it when you make it through. What about those Christian friends of ours who don't allow those three things to successfully have its way within their life? Well, they're not going to grow in that area. They're not going to gain that area. They're not going to grow in the hope that God had purpose that he could have used that thing for, because they gave up. They left. They became shipwrecked because they put themselves ahead of his word. They thought they had a better way to do it. They thought at the moment in time that they're right and God's wrong and perhaps everything else like that. So that's why, again, I'm encouraging you in love. You, as the individual, need to remain steadfast. 2 Corinthians 1, here's what God is going to do after you come through that tribulation, after you gain experience, after you receive that hope because you stuck it out, you didn't give up. It produces a testimony. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Now watch this, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So there you have it. We go through that. We endure it. We make it through. We don't give up on Jesus, even though we want to give up on his people. And even though his people may give up on me, if they don't either at the same time, you know what God can do? He can build a testimony in your life to help others, to comfort others with how God comforted you, but you have to let it have its course. Here's a tribulation, brother, that God is trying to work with in your life. Before you get the hope that God has for you right over here, you need that tribulation to produce the patience. You need that patience to produce the experience. And then, once God sees the humility, you're not trusting yourself. You're not complaining about the person or the situation, but you know what? You're coming to him with a heart of submission and humility. That's when that Holy Spirit of God is going to pour out that supernatural power you need to keep going. Keep going to church. Keep giving. Keep serving. Because you let that have its course. All that to say is this. Let's go now to 2 Timothy 1. By the end of the apostle's life, he'd gone through a lot of difficult things. Paul had experienced seasons of revival. He led so many people to saving faith in Jesus. He baptized his converts. He spent years warning disciples, going to church, being faithful. But by the end of his life, before we close, we're going to see how everybody pretty much gave up on him. There was only one brother who was faithful there with Paul before he was martyred for the faith. And here we have a young pastor who's trying his best to do something for God. He's encouraged by the man who became a spiritual father to him, which was Paul, an instructor, if you will, his pastor. And after he received the first letter, okay, I got the word from my teacher. Here's what I need to do. I need to go back to the church. I need to start telling the men, hey, men, don't teach that. Hey, women, you need to be modest. Hey, guys, if anybody wants to be a deacon, y'all need to do this. He taught the guys with money and the women with money, you guys need to be ready for good works. In other words, he did the thing that God told him to do. Do you think that all of his members were like, yeah, excited to be held accountable? Do you think Timothy's church members were excited to be corrected at times and instructed at times and reminded? Or do you think he became discouraged at times when they didn't want to do it? Do you think Timothy may have maybe shed a tear or two for a member who left an assembly because they didn't want it to walk with the Lord anymore? Oh, yeah. Look at here, 2 Timothy 1, before we close. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience. Now watch this, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee. Now watch this. Being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Can you believe that young Pastor Timothy, he would cry every once in a while. He would be so broken every once in a while. He'd be so saddened by not seeing the growth within his church members, not seeing the excitement within his church members, not seeing the commitment from the men of discipling them and committing them to the work so they can teach others also. You know that he cried every once in a while. You know who knew that? Paul. You know who was mindful of that? Paul. He had gone through that thing before. What did he remind him to do, though? And in application, what are we reminded to do as individuals when we see that happening within our own life, and perhaps you at one point in time in your life, you were probably that one member. I was probably that one member. Watch this. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. You know what he reminds him? Timothy, you're faithful. Don't forget that. Don't worry about others. Timothy, you're strong. I know you love Jesus. I know you are solid in the Word of God. I know you're growing in doctrine. So first of all, let me remind you, I know you're going through some tough times, but you need to remind yourself of the faith. He said, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Praise God that Timothy had Christian family members as well. Amen. But verse number 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. At some point, you're going to have to encourage yourself to keep studying when no one else wants to. At some point, you're going to have to keep going to church when no one else wants to. At some point, you're going to have to keep opening up the church doors and keep leading and keep teaching and keep assembling when no one else wants to. At some point, you're going to have to keep preaching and teaching and instructing when the members don't like it, when they complain, when they give up on you. You know what he told them? You need to stir up that gift of God. Timothy, I know you're going through a lot. I know it may be discouraging if you don't see a lot of growth. I know it may be discouraging if you don't see that faithfulness within the members that are in your church there, Timothy, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to stir it up. Same thing with you, individual, today. Whoever you are here today, Christian member, you are charged, you are commanded by God to obey His words daily. When you come to church, when the pastor has made the available corporate assembly available, keep studying, keep soul winning. Your God is reminding you not to give up, not to excuse yourself, not to let your feelings dictate your choice, because He reminded you He didn't give you that spirit. Look at verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what that tells me? Timothy became fearful at times. It's only natural for me to act like, God, how are we going to make it? God, how are we going to continue? Especially as a young brother up and coming with our church, with growth and obviously assembly, we have churches that are 5 times bigger, right? But I don't see the labors of those pastors like I'm putting into practice. And at times I'm like, man, God, look at that. You know, I don't see nothing going on. What do you want me to keep doing? You want me to just keep doing this? Here I am reminded, you know what, son? Remember, that spirit that's out of me, I gave you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And same thing for you, church member. When you see the lack happening around those around you, it could be your friends, it could be your family, what you're going to have to do is encourage yourself in the Lord. What you're going to have to do is remind yourself, I got a gift that God gave me. I need to remind myself not to be led by my fears and not the fears of others around me. Man, God gave me a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep soul winning because my God's with me. Before we close, I'll show you that. God is reminding us not to give up, not to excuse yourself, regardless. The question is this. Who can help strengthen those things in your life when those feelings come, when those failures are evident around you? Well, of course, God. But who did God give you on earth to help you to go through it. He gave your pastor. He gave your leadership. And who gave God your pastor in return to help him? The members. That's why we all need each other. Amen. He tells us to continue on. Verse number 13, go down here. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Are you ready now? Look at verse number 15. This thou knowest, that all which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Do you see that? He says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many times he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. What are we reminded of before we close on these verses? We need to continue. So what if others leave? So what if others excuse themselves? So what if those individuals are no longer here, or perhaps you start getting a spirit of discontent within your own body? You know what you need to do, believer? You need to hold fast the form of sound words, and that good thing that God gave you, you need to keep. And you need to keep yourself in the love of God. Where others will fail you, he will not. Where others will discourage you, he will not. Let's go to chapter number 3. Chapter 3, and we're almost done. 2 Timothy 3. Verse number 1. This know also, that in last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Isn't that encouraging for a sad pastor? Isn't that encouraging for a sad minister? I mean, Timothy was sad, and guys, every once in a while he got fearful. Paul said, hey, son, let me just remind you, it's going to happen. Hey, son, don't be surprised. The world, it's going to get worse. You know what? As a matter of fact, some of those that may come, they may give up on you. It's not going to get any better. So much for that enthusiasm. That's why, what is the meditation? But thou, sound mind, right? Sound words. Keep yourself on these things. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself to them wholly, because that's the only way that we're going to profit as the individual. He says, for of this sort, in verse number 6, are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's sad that we're going to have Christians today. They might not come to church here, but they're out there. They're never going to learn the word of God. Why? Because they want to argue. They want to be confrontative, combative. When somebody tries to keep them accountable to it, he gives them an example of that. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So what is the direction now? Okay, Paul, you told me now. It's going to get worse. You know, so much better encouragement. I'm like, imagine you're Timothy, right? You're like, oh, I need a word from God right now, because I'm trying my best to build a church. I'm trying my best to be a good pastor. And then he's like, yeah, Timothy, it's going to get worse. You know, like, man, people are messed up, Timothy. People are corrupt. But thou, remember that now. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You know what that shows me, church? Even though that you may be surrounded by carnal Christians, Christians who give up, Christians who give in to their feelings, there's one Christian that you can still look to help you. Paul, he was a good brother. Timothy, he reminded him, look, but you remember me though, Timothy. Don't get caught up with Hymenaeus, Alexander, what's his name, Philegius out there. Don't get caught up with those guys that became shipwreck. Hey, Timothy, remember how I lived. Remember that I did not excuse myself. Remember how patient I've been. Remember how loving I've been. Remember how patient. But let me remind you, look at what he says in verse number 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What are we reminded of, believer, as the individual response? If we want to maintain a sound life, we need to maintain sound doctrine. We need to maintain a sound purpose, sound faith, sound long-suffering, sound charity, and sound patience. It's these types of believers that the Lord will bless and exalt for the furtherance of his work in the ministry, whereby all the other things in life he will provide to preserve you. Since you're humbling yourself in those areas, he will provide that. But don't become surprised, however, at the outcome you may find yourself, Christian, complaining, becoming bitter, becoming divisive, and before you know it, out of the church assembly, because you don't meditate on these things. You don't remind yourself of these things. Lastly, we're almost done. 2 Timothy 4. Let's read verse number 1. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, you see there, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So for the pastor today, and for those of you, the members, think of the life in this world. The Holy Spirit told you that it will not get better over time. They will get worse. The Bible contradicts any philosophies of man's optimism that seeks to remove God out of their system about things getting better over time. But for you, Christian, you know what he said? I charge thee, but thou, and in application, this to ourselves and our church members here today, what do we need to continue to do, even though some of our Christian members will leave? Some of your family members will leave. They won't want to talk to you anymore. They won't want to hear you anymore because you're just too Bible-thumping with your life. You're just too committed. You know what he told you to do? Even though at times the tears may come, even though at times the feelings may get the best of you, you don't want to keep going, he told you to preach that word. He told you to watch. He told you to endure afflictions. He told you to do the work of an evangelist. Turn your Bible quickly, though, to Matthew 10. I think one of the last challenging areas within our life is, how do I balance that life that God wants me to do for him with my family? How do I balance that life of ministry that I know I need to do with my local church? I know I need to help my pastor with. I know I need to keep doing this. How do I balance that with those I love? Should I love my wife more than my God and his commandments? Should I love my husband more than my God and his commandments? What about my children? Let me remind you of your God and his word. Matthew 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Christian, who should come first? Jesus. Your family, they're not going to love Jesus like you're supposed to love Jesus. You're not going to love Jesus like they're supposed to love Jesus. And then ultimately your own life. You see there in verse number 38, if you don't take up your cross, if you're not willing to sacrifice you and your wants and your pleasures and your needs to obey the master's wants, the master's pleasures, and the master's needs, you're not worthy of following him. And perhaps that's why life may be difficult. Now again, I'm not talking to anybody specifically here. I'm just giving you, again, the general word of God on following him. Even when it gets difficult, even when it gets tough, even when my family doesn't want to do it, even when my friends, your Savior told you, love me more than them. Are you with me? Go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and then we'll finish back in 2 Timothy 4. I bring these up, church, to remind you of a story that I'll leave you with before we close. Luke 14, verse 25. Here's what your Savior said. Luke 14:25. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now here are the mega churches, here are the bigger churches, and then here are just those stragglers hanging out in the midst. Amen. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He's not talking about hating like you and I have the understanding of today, like, man, I despise that person. That's not what he's talking about. In this context, that word hate is your love for that individual more than God. So once again, you became a Christian. You responded to the gospel somebody told you. But now here's what your Savior now expects of your love more than your family. If you don't love me more than your father, if you don't love me more than your mother, if you don't love me more than your wife and your children and your brethren, and as a matter of fact, if you don't love me more than yourself, you can't be my disciple. That's pretty powerful. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see there? So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaken not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. What do I want to leave you with? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus gave a good promise to those who would put God first. And this is going to, I promise I'll bring it back with this relationship with my family, my friends, my church members that give up, why I need to keep going. Look here, Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Believer, your God promised you that when you put him first, he'll take care of your needs. When you put him first, he'll take care of your financial needs. When you put him first, he'll take care of your emotional needs that you're not getting because you're putting your mother ahead, your father ahead, your children ahead, you're putting your work ahead, and you're putting you ahead. Your God promised you, if you want to follow me, if you want to serve me, and you want to let me use you for something great, I need you to put me first. But just know, here are going to be the consequences. Your family's going to be disappointed because you're giving God more time than they are. Your church friends are probably going to complain. They're going to get disappointed because you're putting your Savior ahead, and then hence your example is being a conviction to those around you. But that's your Savior. 2 Timothy 4, and then we're coming to a close. Let's finish here real quick. But thou, that's what we're talking about, the individual, the application, me, the individual responding to the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4, before we come to a close, here's what he ends with here with Timothy. He tells him in verse number 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Well, church, we know why he did that, right? Why? Because he loved this present world more than who? Jesus. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. So by the end of Paul's life, what is his life as an example of for young Pastor Timothy, and then for all of us in application today as individual Christian members? Serving God, being a faithful Christian, is not a guarantee that your Christian family members and your Christian friends are going to be your friend all the way through. In other words, they're going to be as solid as you. They're going to be as joyful as you. They're going to be as motivated as you. No. There's no guarantee. As a matter of fact, those closest to you, they probably will leave you at some point. Your friends probably will give up on you. Your family may not want to hang out with you as much because you're too in love with him than them. So Timothy, I know you got tears. I know you got some fears. But let me remind you, even though everybody else may forsake you like they've forsaken me, even though those brothers that you and I both know about, they used to come to church, but they no longer do it. Let me give you this last encouragement. Look at verse number 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding who, church? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. For what purpose? That by me the preaching might be fully known, and all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I'm closing. What is my last word of encouragement to you? Keep coming. Keep growing. Keep yourself in the love of the words of God. Because when you put him ahead of the family, when you put him ahead of the work, when you put him ahead of the children, and you put him ahead of yourself, he is the one that's going to strengthen you. He is the one that's going to keep you. He is the one that's going to preserve you so that you can continue to accomplish the purpose that he has for you to make him known unto others. But as soon as you put you ahead, as soon as you put your family ahead, as soon as you put the friends ahead and the disappointments and the discouragements, don't be surprised why some of you may become a Brother Demas, forsaking him, and all of a sudden out of church because, and then you fill in the blank. So in the end of the day, what is my responsibility as the individual within the church? Remember, that's what we were talking about last Sunday. I know I have a role now. I know that my God has given me commands and teachings that I need to keep. But whose responsibility in the end of the day is it for me to keep that going? It's my responsibility, the individual. I know my pastor has his job, praise God. But I know it's between me and God. The minute that my heart begins to sway, I need to do my best to get it back over here. The minute that my mind begins to complain, I need to bring it right back over here to the Word of God. Amen? So let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the Word of God today. I thank you for the truth that we learn from the Scriptures. And I thank you for the expectations that you have for your children that you reminded us through the writings of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, and also your words, Lord Jesus, teaching the multitude and the disciples. Lord, some of us are just at the beginning of our walk with you, Lord. We haven't yet experienced a lot of tribulation. We haven't yet experienced a lot of trials to strengthen our faith because we haven't had a lot of family or friend opposition. We haven't really experienced a lot of church member problems and church member leavings and things like this that Timothy has. But God, they will come. And today, as all of us were reminded of these things that will come, you have told us the way of escape. You have taught us the way that will keep ourselves with you, close with our church family, close with our church pastor, is when we as the individual are meditating on your words, giving ourselves wholly to your words, meditating on your doctrine, God. That is what's going to help us to keep ourselves in this walk with you, fulfilling our roles as individual Christians. So as I close in prayer, Father, please help every single Christian that's here today to keep themselves in love with you. No matter if they're young Christians or older Christians, at any time, Lord, we can become a Demas, we can become a Hymenaeus when we put the Word of God off and we put our feelings ahead, Lord. Please don't let that happen to our members here. Please keep us close. Please keep us united on the Word of God. And Lord, if anybody ever comes back from our past, help us to welcome them, God. That'd be a blessing. But Lord, we pray for them as well who have strayed. Some are serving you still faithfully and others are not. Please strengthen them where they need to be strengthened and convict them where they need to be convicted. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church. Love you. God bless you. Please enjoy the rest of your day. And Lord willing, we will see you guys Wednesday. Amen. For midweek Bible study. Lord bless you.